The Huddle live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Whatever your name is. Is that me? Yeah. Big boy, handsome?
I called you handsome. I got that in there.
You did.
What's going on? Did you have a good birthday weekend or what?
I had a great birthday. I sat in my recliner and watched Boston sports for 9 hours. It was awesome.
Your wife's going to yell at me, so I'll just say this now.
Oh, jeez.
That Sports Center update was brought to you by Rice Memorial High School. It's still accepting applications for the fall of 2018 and offers financial aid. For more information, go to the Rice Memorial website at rmhsvt.org.
There you go.
Go Little Indians. Oh, wait.
Wow. Whoops. Look at you.
Just kidding.
But you had a good birthday, huh?
It was fantastic. I did absolutely nothing.
Sat around in your underwear, shirt on.
No, not really. Recliner. I didn't want to offend the cats. Unlike you, I have some... What's the word I'm looking for?
You didn't want to offend the mirror or what?
Believe me, my mirror has been offended many times. No, it was great. And I... The power of Facebook is astounding to me. I have 399 messages.
And you only know like 9 people.
I don't even know who these people
are. It's amazing.
And every one of them is, and it's nice because it's not just somebody just hitting happy birthday and sending it. There's like pictures and videos, and people are taking time out to be nice. And thank you to all of you, whoever you are.
My wife didn't even wish me happy birthday.
On Facebook?
Really? Facebook. So
I wrote you a status and you didn't even comment on it.
I still have not found it yet. I've not read any of my birthday messages. I know that's bad. Yes. That's why people don't like you.
My messages included an ex-wife and 3 ex-girlfriends.
Wow.
So I was pretty
sick. Is it weird to get an ex-girlfriend to...
Well, isn't that the whole point of Facebook?
No, I mean, is it weird to get them to, you know, when you hear from them and saying, oh, happy birthday? Because my ex is never... They don't contact me, and they don't want to hear from me, ever.
It's weird once you have somebody new and they have somebody new. Then it's weird. If you're both still single, then it's like there's a chance we're going to get back together.
All right, Top Fair Tire text line. Like, I could imagine a girl texting in right now saying, oh, my ex was my new husband's best man or something like that. Yeah, you know those stories. That's like a Hallmark movie or something. That's what that is.
Every time I get dumped, it's very calm. They sit down and they say, you're a great guy and I'd like to be friends.
It's not you, it's me.
Same old crappy lines that you hear from everybody. But the fact is that we've remained, you know, peaceful with each other in all cases.
That's not really possible.
Yeah, that's not really possible.
Yeah, what kind of fairy tale land do you live in?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, in my case, it's true.
It's not weird to hear from the ex as long, like I said, once the ex has somebody new and you have somebody new, then it's weird.
Do you know why you have knee pain?
Oh, jeez, where is this going? Go ahead, tell me.
It's not because you ride a bike. It's because your exes have voodoo dolls of you and they're sticking pins in your knees. What's wrong with you? That's exactly why you got knee pain.
All this time.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
It was their fault.
Go to their house. You'll see those little voodoo dolls of Rich up there, the 101.3 shirt. You'll know, that looks a lot like me for crying out loud.
How about if I don't go to their houses?
Hey, I may need an attorney to text on in right now real quick.
Oh, no. Boy, you're off to some controversy immediately here.
No, I'm serious about this. Top Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. Brady, you may know where I'm going with this. Did you see the new HBO?
I heard about this.
Did you see the new HBO movie that came out over the weekend?
On Joe Paterno. I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Are you in it? Are you in the background?
No, what happened was somebody told me I was in the movie, but I'm like, that's not true. The president's name was Graham Spanier, which happens the same last name as mine, so you're making a mistake. Well, too many people started to text me and tweet me and all that stuff, saying, no, you're in the movie. So the movie was on, I recorded it, and sure enough, there was rioting going on. Of course, I'm in the riot scene, and there's rioting going on, and of course, I'm a correspondent for CNN over the last 15 years, and they took one of my CNN clips where I'm calling the students idiots. And going, they're just morons. They're stupid for protesting. They're helping. This is when Joe Paterno got fired, and they were riding on campus, and I was on the air. I go, he deserves to be fired. He's helping a child molester, for crying out loud. And I'm going on and on. And they played that clip in the movie, as well as Colin Coward and some other people.
Okay, so This is a true story.
Oh, yes, this is true. I saw people saying this. So yeah. I did not want to watch the movie. I thought it was going to be creepy. So, I heard it was very good.
So Arnie's voice is in that new movie.
You were on video at the time. Is this a video clip of you or just audio?
It's video, but you only hear me. It was on when I was on TV.
So you don't see you, but they can hear you in the background.
Oh, yes, you'll know it's me. Yeah. It's no doubt about that.
Well,
yeah.
Don't you get, yeah, I think it may be his time to make a call.
What, to an attorney? HBO? No, I didn't even know I was going to be in
But
that's a news clip. That might be like, public domain or whatever the hell they call it.
Well, I don't know. Tom Caron gets royalties from every time the town is on, and he's just in the background one play-by-play.
That is true. Doug and Heisberg, any chance we're going to talk sports today? We'll get to it.
Oh, stop.
Relax. I'm on an HBO movie, for crying out loud. I'm a big deal now.
Which was about sports. Well, sports and life.
I don't like the subject matter there, but... anyway, so I may have to. If you're an attorney, you might want to text in. Do I have a lawsuit there, or
I don't know the answer to that, but it sure seems like you should get something.
Sounds like you should have been at least made aware.
$25, yeah, something, just a little something, something.
Well, if you don't want it, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take the $25. I'll take us out to wings or something like that. So anyway, we'll wait for an attorney to get on in. Hoops tonight, Brady. You don't like to play Monday night. You're always afraid to play.
I have a full show today.
All right, so you're afraid to play Monday, so you won't be there.
That's right.
And, by the way, our YMCA game, we have the playoffs when we win our first game.
We're playing the 11 seed, so I hope we win.
We win. Then we play Trimboli's team.
Oh, so he gets to go off again.
I am going to crush him like a redheaded stepson.
Stop. Man. This is former UVM megastar Mike Trimboli, who scored 50 what?
54.
54
he
points
is going
against Arnie.
Over under 10.
Now I
over
am,
under 10.
Now I'm in Doug's camp. Okay, let's go.
We'll have to check on that one.
Oh, wait. I meant this one.
That was another outlandish comment by Arnie Spanier.
No, that wasn't outlandish. That was right on. I'm going to guard him. So anyway, we'll get to that. We got the YMCA.
He scored 40 this time.
Yeah, so we got the YMCA game on Thursday. So they had to move that. And hoops tonight. You don't like to go to that one. So
and trivia tomorrow.
Oh yeah, tell everybody what's coming up this week, because we got a lot of new stuff coming up and a lot of stuff going on this week. So tell everybody what's coming up.
All right. Well, we got a couple of things. One, we're trivia at the Burger Bar tomorrow. Now. That's 7:30 to 9:30, so come on and hang out. Half-price appetizers, that's going to be fun. We are starting something new this week.
Yes.
What?
We are starting something new this week. It's called The Mistake of the Day.
You guys are going to love this.
So for all of you texting Twitter know-it-alls out there, you're going to get a chance to hold us accountable. So here's what happens. Every time we make a mistake...
Uh-oh.
You tweet, you text in. Do not call in.
Text.
You just said tweet, so that's a mistake already.
You text in. I corrected it.
Easy, easy there.
You text in 802-655-6672. Every time that we make a mistake, you text us, leave your name, tell us what the mistake was. We'll verify that you were right, depending on what it is.
And you could have 2, 3, 4, 5 entries throughout the day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we'll draw one name, and that will be a qualifier, and then we'll have five qualifiers, and we'll have a winner at the end of the week for 101.3 swag.
Every single day, we will have a qualifier, and then on Friday, we will have a winner. So the best mistake catch of the week, and you're going to get a 101.3 ESPN hat. We've got baseball hats. We've got snow hats. So you're not going to want the snow hat now, although it's still winter. Really.
But we still got some great 101.3 swag.
So we got some 101.3 swag. That's all thanks to our friends over Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. So mistake of the day, 802-655-6672.
And all those, the hat that Brady wears, the 101.3 hat, the winter hat I have, the jackets we have, the winter jackets, other jacket I have, all done by Joann. So it's a great place, and we'll go ahead and get you something. I'll get you the hat at the end of the week, but you got to catch us on the mistake.
So you literally have thousands of chances every day to win.
Yes, you have thousands of chances.
Sometimes I believe this show contains more mistakes than corrects.
I don't believe that. We're highly skilled.
We should keep
highly
it.
Talented, should, highly skilled.
And handsome.
We should see who makes the most mistakes per day.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure it will be going Rich Brady than Arnie.
Really?
I'm positive of that. I'm absolutely sure about that. So that's the mistake of the day. Anytime you hear us make a mistake.
And wasn't that just a mistake, saying that he's going to make the fewest
mistakes?
Well,
come on now. Easy there. Just slow down here.
Like when Arnie says that...
Dolphins are going to win the AFC.
That's not a mistake either. Like when he says that Hanley Ramirez had 58 home runs instead of 18 home runs, that would be a mistake.
Okay. So it's got to be real. It'll be obvious.
Yeah, because we're already getting tons now. I don't know what I could have said that was a mistake, but anyway, 802-655-6672. The mistake of the day. Every time you catch us saying making a mistake, just text on in. And thanks to our friends over at Joann's, which is going to be a lot of fun because, you know, people like to make
correct
sure.
Us.
Oh, like
yeah.
Crazy. Especially Brady. Oh, boy, yeah. Brady, they jump on you like there's no tomorrow. What else do we got coming up?
Well, coming up, the Bruins know their playoff opponent. We'll get into the Maple Leafs a bit. Could the Patriots be in the market for another running back? Odell Beckham Jr. shows up at the Giants facility. We'll try to get you the latest on Xander Bogaerts' ankle. But first, I mean, we have to start with this, and it's a somber note. It's not even a somber note. It's a tragic note, and it's something I think that resonates with all of us in different ways. But the Humboldt Broncos bus crash is absolutely devastating over the weekend.
Oh, boy. You know, I first saw this, and, you know, I didn't know how bad it was going to be and to this extent. And then when you see the news coming down, your just heart just tugs at what you're reading and how this could possibly happen. And oh, I mean, really, there's no words for it. I said something on my national show, and it just, how do you get over something like this? And, I mean, the community is trying to rally, but, geez, guys, it hit home because my son was on these buses just finishing up his this year up in Canada playing in the Junior Hockey League. These kids, all the same age, 16 to 21 years old, all trying to do the same thing my son was doing, trying to play your 2 years of junior hockey and then go on to college and play for, you know, a school. That's what they all want, and then try to go into professional. And now the tragic and lives lost. And I mean, there's nothing you could say, thoughts and prayers, but geez, it just makes you think about how, you know, sports is so insignificant when you have tragedy like this, Rich.
Well, you were the first person, well, Shay in particular, was the first person I thought of when I mean, obviously, you know, you immediately think, well, thank God he wasn't on that bus, but there's a lot of Shays on that bus.
Yeah.
I mean, what was his reaction? It must have been overwhelming.
I don't think he realized at first the devastation, and then as it more came out, and then the siblings of some of the kids that passed away, they put out videos or pictures. And I think it was obviously more somber for him. He was looking at it, and, you know, some of the kids he may have heard of through a friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, it hit home, but, you know, it doesn't really affect you to maybe a couple of days later till you looking at all the pictures and the money being raised, almost up to $6 million now. Is that
the GoFundMe? Yeah, nearing $6 million. And one of the many reasons why this is so devastating for everybody and why you see the world coming together is because this is relatable, and this is relatable to everybody in some way. In Arnie's case, it's relatable because you're a parent who has had to deal with the, you know, I have to imagine, you know, there's a degree of fear every time your son or daughter is in a vehicle that you are not driving in. There is some kind of fear there in every one of those situations. You've had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Both of you as parents, Arnie, as you just mentioned, in Shay's situation, and my own situation of how many buses have I been on traveling 3, 4, 5 hours? I mean, how many trips from Oswego to Plattsburgh? I went from Oswego to Florida.
In blizzards, half the time, probably.
Yeah. Oswego to Florida, 24-hour bus rides that we took round the clock, and it's so relatable in so many different ways. It really is.
I was going to say this, when my son played for the LA Junior Kings when we were in Los Angeles, we had another young man who was on the team, another young boy. He was playing in that league. Two of his teammates got traded to that team. They both survived. So there was pictures of them, one of them in the hospital where they're holding hands. That was the big viral picture out there. Both those teammates survived. So the hockey community is so small that, you know somebody through a friend, through a teammate. A lot of kids get traded at the end of the year or picked up because their teams don't make the playoffs. But when you see that tragic situation, I'm stunned. I look at the pictures, I'm just stunned.
I mean, we mostly through Shay make fun of these towns out in the middle, you know, Swift Current and Saskatoon, which was very much a part of this tragedy. Saskatoon, the nearest city, Medicine Hat and Kamloops and all these places we've barely heard of. But you have to understand how much hockey means in places like Humboldt, Saskatchewan. It's a city. It's a town of, what, 5,000, 6,000 people. And yet they have almost 2,000 rink, 2,000 attendance, capacity rink. That's a third of the population of the entire town. And that's very common, especially along the prairies of Saskatchewan and Manitoba. I can't even imagine the grief going on right now.
Did you see the word I'm looking for, the tributes by different NHL teams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Blackhawks and the Winnipeg Jets both wore Broncos on their nameplates.
Yeah.
They were gathered in a circle at center ice before the game. It was powerful stuff. You hate to see it for that reason, but the hockey community coming together. And this is a program that's extremely successful. Yes. Not that that matters, but players that have come out of this program that you have heard of. I mean, six NHL players have come out of the Humboldt Broncos program since the 1970s. So there are guys that you have heard of coming out of this league. You probably didn't know this, but two freshmen on the Norwich Cadets men's hockey team just came from that program.
Wow.
They're two freshmen that just played for the Humboldt Broncos last year. And Arnie, you talk about what the community is doing there and what it's like right now. Well, Emily Kaplan of ESPN, she was at the vigil the other night.
I'll think of the volunteers, Kevin. There was a woman at the door giving out free cans of soda. She told me her husband's a referee, her kid plays youth hockey, and the only way she knows how to cope with this tragedy is to help out and stay busy. There were therapy dogs here from Saskatoon. There were volunteers from hundreds of miles away giving out tissues and hugs. And that really just illustrated to me this community rallying together.
In 1986, there was a terrible tragedy in that same area as they lost four people in an accident as well. And they've talked about it over the weekend, how that stayed with the entire country. So what lies ahead for this entire community over the coming weeks and months?
It's going to be difficult. The team president for the Broncos said while the rest of the season is canceled, he is going to do everything in his power to make sure they have a team next season. They will not disband. And I can tell you that first home game next year when they play, it's going to be something.
Mm, yeah. All right. Well, I mean, there's no words. I really don't know what more to say. It's just, I mean, one of the more tragic situations I think I've ever seen in my life. It's absolutely horrible.
Terrible. And then you hear that this happened 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That something, this same type thing. That was, I believe, four people in that crash. And to hear that this is, four times that almost, it's just devastating.
And fate. I mean, you think about it. One of the kids involved had a little cut under his eye and was at the ceremony last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you just think about it all comes down to where you were sitting, And I mean, it's just, but fate's a strange thing.
Well, there is no easy transition, but we are here to do a show today. So that's exactly what we're going to do. But we just want to say our thoughts and prayers do go out to the family and friends and obviously everybody involved. So we just wanted to go ahead and say that. Brady, we do have to move on, though. As I mentioned, we have a show. It's a Monday. Lots going on, and do we want to start by giving away some tickets?
Yep, Red Sox tickets. We are on our second-to-last day of Sox ticket giveaways. The Golic and Wingo word of the day, do you know what it is? Can you be caller number 5 right now at 802-655-6672? Winner gets to see the Sox April 28th at home against who else but the Tampa Bay Rays.
All right, so right now, give them a call, 802-655-6672. We'll come back. We got some Patriots stuff to get to. It's a Monday right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. As soon as we get on, the phone starts ringing like crazy. I don't know why.
It's because they want those Sox tickets. Who won?
Yeah, I do not know why. Who won the Sox tickets?
Eric from Virgins.
Eric from Virgins. So congratulations. You'll get those Sox tickets.
And by the way, could we please refer to them? I know I've said this before, but as the first place Boston Red Sox from now on.
Wow.
Please?
Second best team in baseball, right behind the Mets.
It's close.
They both have one loss.
Except
the Red Sox have played AAA schedule.
Yes.
Oh, actually, AA. I don't want to give them too much credit.
The Yankees are coming to town for three this week, so that should be fun.
All I want to say is this: the Mariners are cursed, truly cursed.
What are they, 4-3?
No, they're 4-3, which is fine.
Yeah,
but they have four starters on the DL. Four position players on the DL. And now they're just getting hurt in ridiculous ways. Nelson Cruz went on the DL for hitting a home run, walking down the dugout steps, and falling. So that was a twisted ankle that required an MRI. Ugh. Ryan Healy former Lake Monster,
yes,
hit a bases-clearing three-run double to help win the game the other day. Post-game workout twisted his ankle. Now he's on the DL with an MRI, and it's so bad that they were in Minnesota. Their broadcaster was playing pickup basketball, ruptured his Achilles tendon, and now he's out.
How about the guy at the Masters who hit the hole-in-one, and when he celebrated, he snapped his ankle, and he had to snap it back in place?
Yeah, and then he was in second at the end of round one.
Oh, and it was like all purple and gross and disgusting.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Did you see the pictures? That was gross.
I shouldn't laugh too much. We'll see about the Xander Bogaerts anxiously awaiting the results of that
goodness.
MRI.
All right, by the way, if you didn't hear in the first segment, we're going to have the mistake of the day. Just listen to the show every time, mostly Brady and Rich, but every time we make a mistake, just text in the mistake that we made. That will draw a qualifier at the end of the day, and we'll have five qualifiers. We'll have a winner at the end of the week, and you'll get something from our friends over at Joanne's Uniform up in Colchester. So that's where we get a lot of our stuff.
They are pouring in, baby.
Why, did we make a mistake already? I don't think so.
Well, you made a mistake 5 seconds into the show, according to Brian from Richmond, who, when you introduced me as handsome.
Oh, is that what it is? It's got to be a real mistake, though. So it's got to be a real mistake. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get to Belichick and what's going on with him and Gronk.
Well, we've heard, obviously, that he and Gronk are on rocky terms right now as we continue into the offseason. Well, now maybe we have a reason why. According to the Boston Herald, Belichick took issue with Gronk's working out with Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero. We have known that, but now we know that one point early last season, Belichick, quote, chastised Gronk in front of the players for being a TB12 client. So maybe Belichick was just trying to keep everyone from jumping ship on the training staff. And other people have said that Gronk felt, quote, persecuted to a degree last season. Is it right for Belichick to call him out publicly like that in front of the team?
What was he trying to get the point across? Because, you know, you brought up something interesting. Is he doing it to make sure other people don't jump?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too.
No, that's not what I was thinking.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Or is he doing it because he feels like it's a slap in the face to him? Or is he doing it, which is what I think here, to take a shot at Tom Brady? He's like, you're going to go see this witch doctor? You idiot. Nobody sees this guy. Oh, wait a minute. Tom does. You know, it would be like me yelling at you, Rich, for dating my ex, and my ex is standing right next to you, and me going, how would you date such a horrible person, Rich? And me just, you know, ripping into her, which is really me taking a shot at her, not a shot at you. So maybe he's taking a shot at Tom Brady when it's really said and done.
The whole thing, it seems so ridiculous, but it's like, I can't picture Belichick calling out anybody at a meeting in front of everybody. Doesn't that seem to go against the grain for what he would normally do? It does to me.
No, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Why not? In fact, I find it wholly Belichickian, and it doesn't surprise me at all.
To show up one of the top three players of the organization in front of everyone?
Yes, because if you're willing to do that, what are you willing to do to any other player? If you're willing, that has famously been said that Brady, at the early part of his career, got it harder than anybody else, so that they knew that, look, I'm going to be this hard on the best player. That's how the Patriot way was built, essentially. That all, when you say that the Patriot players live in fear, it's like, well, if he does that to Brady, what is he going to do to me? Well, if he does that to Gronk, what is he going to do to me? This sounds like Belichick making an example to make a point, and I think it's what we've talked about all offseason, that Belichick does not like not having control, and the more players he can keep with the team doctors and with the team strength coaches, the more control he has, I think he likes that.
I think he's got to be real careful about how he picks his battles. I mean, I if it's the backup punter, sure, but it's Gronk. And if you're going to alienate him to the point where he doesn't even want to come back next year, is that really the best idea for the team moving forward?
Whenever he says something, it's very calculated, Bill Belichick, I'm talking about. So when he said, if it's not to take a shot at Tom Brady, and let's say I'm wrong and you guys are right and it's taking a shot at Gronk, well, the next step is, if I'm Gronk, I may not want to come back so quickly, or I may want to be traded because I don't like your attitude. Am I wrong to think like that, or what?
No, I think you're right to say that. I think Belichick can make whatever play he wants to, but just understand that Gronk can have a strong reaction to that.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think this is even so much about Gronk. I think this is making an example in saying that, look, I don't like Alex Guerrero. I don't like his methodology. I don't like guys going off-site, especially in season.
You don't think it's a shot against Tom Brady?
I don't think it's a shot against Tom Brady. I think Belichick, been talking about all off-season? That Belichick might not be willing to evolve. That Belichick wants more control. Right. That Belichick doesn't want to listen to anybody. And what is that? What does that mean? It means that as he gets older, he wants to tighten the grip into my way or the highway, and multiple players going off to Alex Guerrero doesn't allow him to do that. It doesn't surprise me one bit. It sounds like a guy who's had a lot of success, who's getting older and more crotchety.
So if Gronk decides he's retiring tomorrow.
Yeah, he won't do that, though.
But, well, I mean, the fact that we've even heard rumors about it to me is unbelievable. I never saw that coming. Now we have some specifics as to why it may be.
Well, he could. There's no doubt in my mind if Gronk said, trade me now, they would trade him now. I don't think there'd be a lack of suitors. They go ahead and get a third-round pick for him, let's say, or something like that, they will trade him if they – yeah, you're not very happy about it. Well, hey, that's what you get.
For Gronk?
Well, that's if you're lucky enough to get a third round. I want you to just know that. So if he puts that out, he'll have to trade him. He has no choice.
I think Gronk can be made happier with more money. I think Gronk right now is, I want to say, the fourth or fifth highest paid tight end in the league, and he's barely ahead of a guy named Trey Burton, who most average NFL fans haven't even heard of. So more money, I think this is a power play for Gronk to say, look, if I'm coming back here, then I'm going to be paid closer to what I'm worth rather than what you want to pay me. But I also just, I do find it interesting. And the one thing where I think Belichick made a real big mistake in doing this is, what were we talking about this time last year? Gronk being a party boy, Gronk dealing with his injury by going out and he was doing soccer stunts and all this stuff that put him in danger. Even though I don't like Alex Guerrero, and I would prefer guys work on the team, in the team facility, under the team mandate more often than not. I don't like Guerrero very much either, but he makes a commitment to be more committed and more fit and in better shape so he doesn't get injured, and now he's being chastised for that too. That was a no-win for Gronk.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's going to, I'm talking about Belichick, is going about this the whole right way about that. Robin Swanton already made a mistake when he said it's not Joanne's uniform. Robin Swanton, you got to do better than that if you're going to come up with the mistake of the day. I said Joanne's uniform. What did I say?
That's exactly what it is. Joanne's uniforms in Colchester.
Yeah. You got to, if maybe I said Joanne uniforms. Maybe I left off the
or
S. Joanne's, I don't know.
Joanne's uniform.
No, you got to come back. You got to come with something better than that in Robin Swanton. Otherwise, no, you're not qualified.
Well, no, I mean, it's Joanne's uniforms. Yeah. You apparently said. See, this is what we're going to be dealing with.
No, you got to have something a little better than that. I'm not doing that at all.
You said the. You meant the.
Yeah, big deal. You're not getting away with that garbage there. Henry and Fletcher said, look at when Bill got rid of the kick returner when he fumbled the ball. Who's he talking about on that one?
I don't know. He benched Cyrus Jones a number of times, but Cyrus Jones was hurt this year. It was not bent. It was not released. I'm trying to remember.
There was the Tyquan Underwood story, which they just dumped him right before the Super Bowl.
I'm just wondering what the reaction was among the teammates that was listening to this rant and saying, why is he even going off? And by the way, and I'm being serious on this, if I walked up to Brady and said, Brady, man, you need to lose 10 pounds.
Oh, it was Harper, the receiver, Harper,
okay.
Yes.
And I said to Brady, you need to lose 10 pounds. Who am I to talk to say, tell Brady that he, you know,
that's
when I'm
sure.
When I'm a little like 11 pounds over, let's say.
11.
Yes.
There's one.
Who's Belichick to be giving health advice? Have you seen pictures of that guy's stomach? And I don't know if that really, and I'm not joking around. I mean, really, is he really the person to be given health advice? Tom Brady is, because he's in his 40s and playing football. I don't know if Bill Belichick, just like I said, I can't tell Arnold Schwarzenegger, you need to pump iron, Arnold, to look better. I can't do that.
He's the coach. By that methodology, no coach can ever tell any player what to do.
No, you could tell them what to do, but I just meant more from a physical standpoint, more like a health standpoint. How could you tell somebody not to see a certain doctor or person when you're so unhealthy to begin with anyway? Forget that you're the coach. You know what I'm saying? Am I wrong on that?
As far as I'm concerned, if I'm looking at Tom Brady and telling him he needs to change his lifestyle in some way to be more healthy, I mean, that'd be the most preposterous thing ever. Not because it's coming from me, but because who's healthier than Tom Brady right now? Let him do whatever he wants. It's working.
All right. So that's the latest on that. I'm curious to see when it's all said and done if they don't ship him out to the Rams.
Gronk?
Or Dolphins would be better, though, huh? How about that, huh? How about the Dolphins? What's going on with the Bruins? Because they lose 4-2. They have that makeup game. So they lose, and now they'll play the Maple Leafs instead of getting what the New Jersey Devils is. That who it was supposed to be?
Yeah.
And, of course, the Leafs a lot better. And the Leafs, the last time they played Bruins had a Leafs had a 3-1 lead and was up 4-1
in game. Yeah,
in game
something
seven.
Like that.
In game seven with like what 5 minutes left there?
Yeah, and they tied it and won it in overtime.
That's what worries me. Yeah. Payback, so you know what, but it should be a fun series, no doubt about
that. Yeah, Bruins get the 2 seed, and they will play the 3 seed Maple Leafs. And this is an interesting matchup because the Maple Leafs are a team with so much young talent. I know the Maple Leaf faithful are very, very strong, and they've been distraught for years about this team. And this is their ray of hope here. And I don't know that they're ready to go and win the cup right now, but to get out of the first round is not out of the question. We talk about Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander. This team has some real offensive fire. 3 players with 60-plus points, that's unheard of.
An entire country full of hockey-mad people cheering them on because they're the only ones from north of the border in it. Oh. So, I mean, yeah, yesterday was disgraceful. I know you could sit here and say it was just one game. Bruins had absolutely everything to play for in that game. Florida had nothing to play for. The Bruins had Tuukka in goal. They had all their frontline guys up there, and they absolutely choked it away. I couldn't believe how flat they were in the first 2 periods. Then they suddenly realized, oh, this game is really important, and they dominated in the third quarter to the tune. I think it was 26-6. Some insane amount of shot differential, and they still couldn't get it by Reimer.
Rich calling it the third quarter. There's a mistake for you on
mistake. Who said that?
Brady's saying it.
Hockey guy said quarter.
And you know what's so funny is they want to bust me for not putting an S in something, but yet not one person criticized or got that on the text line.
Rich is always right.
Anyways, but as I said, those 3 youngsters under 21 years old for Toronto, they've got 60 points or more for the second straight year, despite Matthews missing 20 games this season. Okay, they are the top 3 scorers for the Maple Leafs, and this is the stat I found most amazing. In the salary cap era, 17 players have recorded at least 60-point seasons before they turn 22. The Maple Leafs now have 3 of them on their roster. But despite all that, Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal, says Bruins fans should not be worried.
I really don't think so. You know, it's a different animal in the playoffs. It's lower scoring, it's tighter checking, less penalties. And, you know, the run-and-gun Leafs, I don't think they have the defense. They haven't upgraded that defense. It's almost like an arrogance, really. Toronto could have gone out and gotten, you know, the Ryan McDonoughs or some of the other guys that were available, and they chose not to, and they think they can outscore opponents. I think Boston's depth of scoring, their two-way play from a lot of their smart players, and their better defense is really going to take this home. I'm really not worried about Toronto.
Interesting.
Good for him.
And by the way,
I disagree.
The first real mistake of the day comes in. It's on you, Rich, when you said you think that Toronto was the only team north of the border in the playoffs. Winnipeg.
Oh, of course.
But of course, the person that corrected you on that was a first-time texter, no name or city, so we can't qualify that person. So there you go.
Oh, my gosh, I forget. In fact, not only is Winnipeg in it, they're loaded. Yeah. They could very well win the West. So that's a big one from a hockey fan.
That's how it works, people. When Brady and Rich or myself makes a mistake, just get on the Town Fair Tire text line, tell us the mistake we made, and then we'll have a qualifier each day. At the end of the week, we'll give you a 101.3 ESPN had some of the swag thanks to our friends at Joann's.
And of course,
Embroidery works at Joann's.
Embroidery works at Joann's.
Obviously, I'm just trying to make it easy for people. Yes. I knew that.
Yeah. You knew that. You wanted to see how many, not one busted them on the third quarter like you did, Brady. That's for sure.
I'm just giving an example of what people could use.
Yes. Brady, what's coming up next? What do we got going on?
Red Sox, they're up to their best start in franchise history.
Wow.
What do we have to say about that? And do we know anything more about Xander Bogaerts?
That's next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. All right. This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Monday.
Yes.
It's a Monday. We're getting off. A little sluggish start.
Why are we getting off to a sluggish start?
Oh, you guys are making mistakes all over the place on the top for entire text line. Oh,
you know what? I can't deny it so far. I forgot the Winnipeg Jets are from Canada.
Well, that happens. That happens. You know, I can see that slipping your mind out there. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get to the Red Sox, because after that first game when they lost, when we were watching it at RJ's, and everybody thought the season was going to be 0-160.
No.
Well, the Red Sox are off to their best start in franchise history. The Reds' 9-game start, they are now 8-1. And yes, you could say it's a product of the soft schedule if you want. They've beaten the Rays now, what, 6 times? They've beaten the Marlins twice.
Yeah, 6-1. Yeah.
So, but you know what? This is exactly what we said. The Red Sox were gifted with a soft schedule in April, and they needed to take advantage of it. And here they are taking advantage of it. And in the new wave of baseball where teams are tanking, Buster Olney told us there's going to be 6 teams or so that are really elite that could win 100 games, the Red Sox being one. There are going to be 6 or 7 teams that are really, really garbage that you need to just pound when they come on the schedule. And the Marlins and Rays are 2 of those teams that don't project to be very good when this thing's all said and done. The Red Sox started the season exactly like
they
should
have. Yeah, but they won it on their pitching. You do got to worry about what happens when they go up against some decent pitching themselves, because their hitting has not looked great at times. Matter of fact, I believe, 75% of their games it's not looked all that great.
No, they've done just enough hitting to win each game, most of them by a run. Yeah.
That's the number one thought is how their offense will be.
That's true, but they've done a lot of – do you realize they have not made an error yet this season? I mean, that nobody's even talked about that. They have not made a single error yet. When you get really good starting pitching with perfect defense, you're going to beat anybody. I mean, when you make 0 errors in, 9 games, yeah, you're going to beat a lot of good teams, too.
And that bullpen's looked better than it did. It couldn't have looked worse than in game one of the season when they blew it against the Rays. Bullpen's looked better. Arnie, I'm not as worried about the offense. I know we used the weather as an excuse last year, and I know that they've been...
Offense has been down all over, though.
Yeah, I know, and I know that they have been in warm weather places and domes, but I'm not... These last 3 games where it's freezing and windy in Boston, I'm excusing some of that. And I do believe that as they go through and get into 75 and 80-degree weather, that the ball is going to travel more and they're going to continue. Mookie Betts has looked great. He led off the game with doubles each of the last 2 games against Tampa. They have J.D. Martinez homeward for the first time over the weekend. I think the Red Sox are in a good place. They're in a better spot than I anticipated they would be even through 9 games. I thought if they went 6-3, that would have been cleaning up on their schedule. They go 8-1 instead. And their new offensive approach is playing dividends also. They've swung and missed at only 8% of pitches all year. They are swinging more often, earlier in counts, and they're not missing.
You talk about offense, and I mean, there's a lot of guys not doing a whole lot. I mean, JBJ is doing absolutely nothing. Moreland, until yesterday, although he hadn't played a lot, had done nothing. You mentioned J.D. Martinez. He hadn't really done anything other than that home run in a blowout game on Saturday. Benintendi has hit, I think he's hitting about 160. Hasn't made any difference. When you get that kind of pitching and defense, you just need to score 3 or 4 runs. You're going to win every time.
And David Price, oh my goodness. Oh,
I
my
told
goodness,
you,
man.
I knew.
Not that
oh,
I
here
told
we
you
go.
That
I
would happen you. 6 months ago.
No, you were, first of all, you didn't know it was going to be this good. You just hoped that he was going to be able to turn it around, eat innings, and keep it to 3 runs or less every start. That's
my exact words were he's going to be David
Shut out
Price.
Every time?
He's going to be the 18-4 guy that he was before. By the way, just to mention, including spring training, the Red Sox are 22-2 in their last 24 games.
How'd they do in the playoffs last
year? Just throwing it out there. Better than your Mariners.
That's
do.
Very true.
Actually, no, they didn't, because the Mariners didn't lose any playoff games.
Mariners haven't lost any playoff games in 16 years, as a matter of fact.
You just made that too easy for me. But, I mean, there are some teams. You're right about the offense, though. Man, how many 3-1 kind of games are you seeing? I was looking at the Cleveland Indians schedule. I have them as the AL champions this year, if not Houston. The leading hitter in their batting order yesterday was hitting .214. And I know we're just barely over a week into the season, but it's a lot of good hitting teams that aren't doing anything.
So, you know, one person was blaming it on the weather, and I'm like, wait a minute now. There's bad weather every year, okay, in April. It's not the first year that we're running into some bad weather, and it seems like we've gone out of the way to have, the dome games there's more domes now, but dome games and also the warm weather sites. Am I wrong on that or what? I don't know if you can blame the weather.
Well, I'm saying I'm this weekend in particular, which was freezing, I give a little bit of credence to that. And then remember, 2 of those games, even though it's the Marlins, you're playing with the pitcher in the lineup.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to ask you, I forgot the name of the pitcher that said, because he didn't have enough time to warm up because there was, a warm-up clock or something like that, that it was so cold, he came in, gave up a home run, and it cost him the game. And he's blaming that because he didn't get a chance to warm up enough. That's why he gave up. No, being serious.
No, I'm sure.
I'm being serious. He said that he's blaming it on that and saying, I didn't have a chance to properly warm up because of the cold weather, and I gave up a home run. Oh, is that a proper excuse or what? I don't know.
It's good for him.
Unbelievable. I mean, I just saw they were putting on Twitter that the Pawtucket Red Sox, next three home games are free.
Oh,
I mean, they can't even give away free tickets because it's so cold right now. Who's going to sit through a AAA game in Pawtucket, Rhode Island for 3 hours and 28 degrees and windy?
Bad news on the Red Sox. Xander Bogaerts, Evan Drellick, NBC Sports Boston reporting now. Sources confirm Bogaerts headed to the DL with that ankle injury, and he's in a walking boot right now.
Oh.
So that is bad news for arguably the Red Sox best hitter in the beginning of the year.
All right. Oh, well, geez. They're sending him to the 10-day disabled list. And I'll tell you what, if he comes off that DL after 10 days, I'll be very happy. Because have you ever seen a stranger injury where he goes flying into the dugout after he flips the ball inexplicably into the other team's dugout? He's trying to save a run from scoring. As turns out, that was a huge play. With the comeback. Yeah. Nobody talked about that. Great hustle play. Pops right out of the dugout like nothing's happened, and within 1 minute, they were literally carrying him into the dugout.
I know. What moves do you have to make because of this, Brady, if it's any significant length of time? Who takes his spot? And
yes, hold.
Well, you're talking about you're going to bring somebody up from the minors. You can't bring up Michael Chavis.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Red Sox top prospect suspended for PEDs, although he probably...
And does Nunez get into the spot here or no?
Well, he's already playing in Pedroia's spot.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So,
well, maybe you could bring up a second baseman and move him. But
Holt plays. Pedroia is close. He is closer than we think to coming back.
Well, I think that maybe it's easier to replace Pedroia than move Nunez to replace Bogaerts. But no, that's not what you would do. That's not the way it would
work. Well, Pedroia's not ready to play yet. So
no, I know, but you can get somebody else to play second base.
No,
though.
They're probably going to bring up, and I'm not even going to be close on his name, Zhu Wei Lin. I mean, he played a little bit at Fenway last year. Not a great hitter, but he seemed to be a good replacement for the time being.
Don't you look at the free agent or try to, you know, look at somebody else's farm club since yours is so damn bad?
I wouldn't yet. I mean, you know what? If it turns into a 2 month injury, sure. But right now it's 10 days. Let's see. You know, let it play out.
Drellick says it's related to a bone in his foot, not the ankle.
All right, boy. I hope it's 10 days.
Wow. Anything more than that, then you're gonna have to start thinking about making other moves out there. All right, Brady. What's coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Well, Chris Taylor is gonna join us. He's the new guy on the helm for the Plattsburgh State men's soccer team. Got the job last week. He played at Plattsburgh. What's it like having the job at his alma mater? He's coming up at 6:40.
How are we going to finish off hour number one?
Well, when we come back, a little Catamount alumni news for you here. You'll like this story.
Next on 101.3 ESPN.
The NFL draft.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, as we're moving along on this Monday. You want to give the breaking news or you want to wait till 5 on that one?
No, we'll do the breaking news now.
Let's do the breaking news.
So we're just talking about Xander Bogaerts. Now we know he's got a small crack in the talus bone in his left ankle. A small crack, no surgery, 10 to 14 days, they say.
Whew, that is great news.
I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to have to double check that.
What?
You have a crack in your bone?
Your talus bone, yeah.
What the hell's a talus bone anyway?
I don't know what half these things are.
So Zhu Wei Lin is being brought up.
Okay.
Right. So you got that right.
You did
call that one right. So
I just don't know what a talus bone is, but that's I'm telling you, as a Sox fan, and I think Sox fans would agree, after seeing him getting carried basically into the dugout, if he's gone for 2 weeks, I'd consider that great news.
I want to know when it happened. Did it happen on the slide? Did it happen in the dugout? I have to imagine that it happened as he slid down the dugout steps or something, and he banged into those steps as you go down. But
yeah, because if you look at the replay in slow motion, his left ankle and foot are up. They're raised up, and there's nothing going on as he slides in. But then once that's the frustrating thing about it is you lose your currently best hitter to an injury that puts him on the DL, and there's no video evidence of what happened.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
But yeah, I consider that very relieving news.
All right, 10 to 14 days. No, it was
ten to fourteen days.
So we'll keep our eye on that. All right, who did you want to say congratulations to, Brady?
Well, former UVM men's hockey player Patrick Sharp just announced his retirement from the NHL. He played 15 years. In the NHL, he played with the Flyers at the beginning of his career right out of UVM, played a long stretch with the Blackhawks, went to Dallas, now back with the Blackhawks. So three different teams, won 3 Stanley Cups, won a gold medal for Canada at the 2014 Olympics. So congratulations to Patrick Sharp. After the game on Saturday in Winnipeg, he talked about his retirement.
The competitiveness never leaves. I think you'll always have that, whether you're a professional or not. You know, I've been doing it since I was 5 years old, dreaming of being in the NHL and thinking hockey, training to be a hockey player, and that's been my whole life. So, in all, I'm relieved that those two games are over. I wish it would have been a playoff scenario so I didn't have to think about it. I would have been more focused on playing, but like I said, I'm very lucky to be able to go through something like that. Had a great career with the Hawks, with the Stars, and being drafted by Philly. So, you know, it's a good day, and I'm extremely happy.
Yeah,
not too shabby. And who else retired? The brothers are stepping on down.
Oh, the Sedin sisters.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, stop it.
Sorry, I should show a little more respect.
You should actually, because they've had great careers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they're just scoring machines, no question about
it. And they've been in the league. A long time. 17 years, I want to say, but maybe more than that.
But as far as Patrick Sharp, amazing. I mean, he had a couple of pretty productive years. I mean, he had 53 points, I think it was, in his 2 years at UVM. Left it after the 2001-2002 season. Late bloomer. I mean, never really got it going with the Flyers, but once he went to Chicago, started putting up 50, 60, 70 points every year.
And he was there before Jonathan Toews and before Patrick Kane, before it was fashionable to be a Chicago Blackhawk. Patrick Sharp was there being productive. So congratulations. And 25 goals in 2 years at UVM.
One less UVM alumni out there in the NHL. Hour one in the books. We'll come back. Brady's going to have a SportsCenter update. Get you ready for hour two next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle Radio at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting through this Monday. It's always the toughest day to get through.
What?
Monday's always the toughest day.
It's...
Well, what's the toughest day?
I'd say Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah. Tuesday's just this sort of nondescript day that doesn't...
Well, Monday, you do have Monday Night Football, so you have that going for
Not
you.
Now we don't.
In fact, we don't have
We got Mariners-Royals tonight. That's what I'm watching.
Hey, can't wait for that. Do I have any of my fantasy players in that game?
I had to watch the Masters because there was nothing else to watch.
Are you crazy? Yesterday?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
if you're not a Boston fan, yeah.
Yeah, but
yesterday was endless Boston sports.
Well, no, I mean, but the Masters was on earlier. I mean, the hockey game was what, at night. So.
Yeah, but the Masters rolled almost right into the hockey game.
Yeah, it was
by
perfect.
The time the Masters ended, it was like...
Yeah, but what was I going to do from like noon to six?
Like six.
I celebrated my birthday in a recliner. I think I moved three times.
Watching meaningless baseballs.
I watched the Celtics game, followed by another Red Sox win, followed by the Masters, followed by that Bruins loss.
You could have watched Ohtani dominate. That's what I did.
How about that?
That's just killing me.
Well, that's getting big.
It's killing me.
That's getting big. When I start seeing him with a perfect game through, what, six?
Perfect game through six, 12 strikeouts. And by the way, he had 12 strikeouts and didn't even throw 100 pitches in that game.
The funny part is he walks around Anaheim. Nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have a clue. And the Dodger fans don't pay attention to what's going on with the Angels. So he's pretty much, you know, going unnoticed with what he's been able to do.
I'll tell you what. I'm just watching his strikeouts. That's some nasty breaking stuff he's got.
His splitter.
That's to the bottom just drops.
You know, Brady,
right
I asked
out.
You before the show started, this guy's batting. If this guy can bat 300, why can't I ask other pitchers to bat 220? I mean, you're getting up with runners on second and third or bases loaded, two outs. Pitcher comes up, strike one, strike two, strike three. Like a rusty gate in the wind. You can't even get the bat on the ball. If you hit 220, this guy's going to bat 300. You can't even give me 220. How weak are you?
So now you've taken your hate of Ohtani
really?
To your hate of all pitchers.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. Seriously, why can't you bat 220?
Because
why can't you bat 220?
Because most pitchers are specialized even in high school, and so they don't pick up a bat for 8 years between college, minor league ball, and the pros.
Well, pick up a bat, dude. It would only help you out. What? Are you serious? You can't spend an extra 15 minutes in the batter's box? What the hell's wrong with you?
You can't get hurt.
You think that's going to help with a 91-mile-an-hour slider breaking inside on you?
Ohtani can hit it.
Well, that's
Ohtani's been practicing.
That's what makes him amazing. Why do you think what we're talking
about?
I'm
not asking you to bat 300. 210, 220. Just get that one base hit when you got the bases loaded in the fifth inning or the fourth inning and you have to bat. Just get that one damn base hit for once.
Talk to me at the All-Star break about Ohtani. I can't imagine he's going to keep this up.
Well, right now he's got more homers than Aaron Judge and Chris Bryant and more strikeouts than Max Scherzer. So, no, I don't think that will continue.
That's just insane.
But he's still good.
That's
speaking of which, how hard was it to be a Yankees fan yesterday? They've got the bases loaded, nobody out, down one in the 12th after blowing a 5-0 first inning lead, And Judge and Stanton coming up.
Double play strikeout, right?
Is that what a play that was by the Orioles catcher. That's the guy who broke up the one hitter with the bunt. So Chance Cisco, I think, the catcher. A 1-2-5 double play for Aaron Judge that he bounced into. And I think Buster Olney said, yeah, the last time that happened, 2012.
Wow.
So the 1-2-5 double play hasn't happened now in 5 years.
So I sat around on my birthday. What'd you do yesterday? I hear you were a little more adventurous.
Yeah, yesterday was very interesting. It was great. Jess and I went to Canada for lunch. And
just for lunch.
Yeah, well, I said,
Canada's a pretty big place. Can you be a little bit more specific?
We went to Bedford, Quebec.
Vancouver.
Bedford.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So
right over the border.
How far of a drive is that?
It was 1 hour exactly.
Okay.
So it wasn't bad, including the border crossing. So we look up just kind of looking for, you know, whatever, a small sandwich shop, a French bistro, like whatever, just something to do something different. Mariners game was postponed. Figured, let's go to Canada. Let's go to lunch. So we go there, and there's two places to eat. There is the Café Rouge and the Restaurant Berry. So we read the reviews. We look at it. And the Restaurant Berry, they say, oh, best poutine in town, great grilled hot dogs or something.
Best poutine in town. There's only two restaurants.
Yeah, well, that's true. So
town of four.
Yeah, so they say best poutine in town. And so I wanted poutine. They had me at grilled hot dogs, so I was like, okay, let's try there. And it was a fun couple-y thing to do, but it wasn't like supposed to be like the world's greatest, nicest date or anything.
Right.
So I wanted good food, want to go do something different, have some fun on a Sunday. And we go to the restaurant Berry for the poutine, and it ends up being basically the cross between a Burger King and a Dairy Queen.
Oh, wow.
So it ends up – I thought it was going to be like a dive with great food and a place you have a story about. Oh, it doesn't look like much, but the food is great. So we order, and it's completely in French, which I expect, but there's no even English translation, no English menu.
Once you hit the border, unless you're in Montreal, you're out of luck.
You're in trouble.
So they gave us – I ordered something – they gave us the wrong food, and then they gave us a plastic fork to eat the poutine with. And I'm eating the poutine, and my fork breaks as I'm eating it. So I don't know if I swallowed part of the fork.
There you go, choke on the plastic.
So I don't know if I swallowed part of the fork or if it was just stuck in the poutine. And I look at Jess, I'm like, this is not really what I had in mind.
Wow, so, what a wasted afternoon.
So we actually ditched the poutine there and went next door to the Café Rouge. And I had one of the best meals that I've ever had.
I thought you were going to say you ditched the bill and ran out on it. I thought that was next.
So we went to the Café Rouge, and it was unbelievable.
Café Rouge.
So I had a great Mexican soup at the French Bistro. That was awesome.
You're very fancy. Yeah, I don't eat
no,
stuff
not
like
really.
You are so fancy.
No, I'm not fancy at all. That's
I'm
why
a burger wing guy, and he's eating at the Café Rouge.
That's why we – no, I'm not fancy. That's why we went to the Dairy Queen.
Is that the Red Café?
Yeah, that's why.
I mean, it doesn't sound real fancy in America.
That's why we went to the Dairy Queen type place, because I'm not fancy. But so we go there, and I got a panini. Jess got a she got poutine, which looked delicious. I didn't have any of it.
And no plastic in it.
No plastic.
Excellent.
The choke on.
That place was awesome. Then coming back, I don't know if there was something iffy happening at the border, but there was a lot of police presence there. Huh. People standing around, like police standing around the border with like humongous guns. If someone knows up at the border what was going on, please tell me, because I had no idea.
There. I always get hassled at the border.
Well, look at you.
Oh, because I didn't stop one, so that got me in trouble.
That might do it.
Well, you're not sure where to stop. It doesn't really kind of pinpoint exactly where you stop.
I don't deny that.
Yeah.
So there was we waited for 45 minutes.
Wow.
At the border. But
Sunday, minutes. That's somewhat typical.
Well, because something.
Where'd you go over?
Highgate.
Yeah, okay.
So something was definitely happening.
You should have honked and asked people to move out of your way.
Something was definitely happening. There was probably a 2-hour delay behind us.
Whoa.
That's why you use Rouse's point over the LaCole.
Well, because I was convinced something was happening. And I don't know who these people were, because they only had two lanes open. Two lanes at the border. There's five of them.
They're saving money up at the border.
They only had two of them.
Sunday.
Three people drove by this massive line and tried to get into lanes 3, 4, and 5. Like, what, you think we all magically missed the open lanes and you're somehow going to get in and none of us can? So that one guy, they sent him back. He drove in reverse all the way back from the border crossing to the 2-hour wait.
Oh, no. See, sometimes they open up a line, you know, while you're waiting, and I'll try to jump that line. I'll be that guy.
I'll say it again. Yeah. Rouse's point, boys and girls.
Wow. That's there
real
you
quick.
Go. That's
unbelievable. Mike, all that just for some plastic poutine.
Mike in Swanton says there was a high-speed chase in Swanton.
What does Jeff in Plattsburgh write to you?
He says, that's just Quebec. That's not all of Canada. Just saying, I don't know what you mean, but I'm not impugning everybody. The dairy. I thought it was going to be, like I said, I thought it was going to be kind of a divey place that had some history and was cool. And yeah, it was like a Dairy Queen. And the seats were what you would expect, like from the McDonald's play place.
So Did you get a blizzard while you're there?
A blizzard with a fork.
So we weren't sticking there very long. But the Cafe Rouge was much better.
Well, there you go. The next meal's on them, I'm sure, after that compliment.
We're going to be doing our show from there coming up next week.
All right, that'll be part of our victory tour.
Exactly. Brady, tell everybody about our newest feature, the Mistake of the Day.
Well, that's right. You get a chance to hold us accountable. So the Mistake of the Day feature is brought to us thanks to Embroidery Works at Joanne's Uniforms in Colchester. We make a mistake, you text in 802-655-6672. At the end of the show, we pick a winner that day. The best mistake, the biggest mistake, the best comment about our mistake, whatever. We pick the winner. You qualify. At the end of the week, we have five qualifiers, one per day. And then that winner gets a hat from our friends over at Embroidery Works at Joann's. That hat is a 101.3 ESPN hat. So Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
And we only have one person that caught us on the mistake, right? Is that what it is
so far? There's been about 40.
Yeah. No,
oh, you mean
guy.
For us or the people responding?
The people responding.
Well,
only one
since
guy
I
got
announced
us.
That the Winnipeg Jets aren't a Canadian team and aren't in the playoffs.
And that was and who was the one, Matt? Was it Matt? Is that who it was?
Oh, yeah, probably.
So Matt is the only qualifier right now. We've done such a good job, we haven't made a mistake. How about that?
One of the things you can't do is say one of your mistakes is letting Arnie back on the air.
Yeah,
we've had about four of those.
Yes, we had plenty of those.
That doesn't count.
That's not a mistake. You can't get credit for that. So when we make a mistake, just get through with the Town Fair Tire. Text line 802-655-6672. Let's get Odell Beckham Jr., Brady. What's going on?
Well, Giants started their offseason program today. It is voluntary, but every Giant was there except for Eric Flowers. And that's a story I'm going to get to in Champlain Valley Game Night. But the big one, OBJ, Eli Manning there. You think it says anything about the Giants and OBJ's relationship that he showed up today?
Yeah, it says that he wants money and that he's not going to do anything to jeopardize that contract. And he doesn't want the Giants coming back to his agent going, well, you see, he didn't show up for OTAs and he didn't show up for this, even though it was optional and all that baloney. No, he's going to play the nice guy. He's going to do everything he can to force the Giants' hand. Either you give me the big contract or you're going to trade me. It's going to be one or the other. Though I've heard that a lot of teams called up to find out about the availability. And when they heard that the Giants were saying, you better start with two first-round draft picks, I guess there was a lot of hang-ups after that. But, I think he is doing all the right things to either get a contract or to get the hell out of there.
And it seems like this storm has calmed down a little bit. Would you agree?
Yes.
In the last couple of weeks? I mean, at first it was like the Giants just opened the window and screamed for the other 31 teams. What can you offer us? We want to hear the best offer. We can't take this guy another minute. That seemed like it lasted for a week or two. Now it seems like it's back to, all right, let's get him signed. He's a transcendent talent. And I think all of a sudden cooler heads are prevailing in both sides, and I think he's probably going to end up signing.
I don't know what it means long term, but I think it's a good start. I think that the relationship is repairable. I think there is an opportunity for reconciliation. I've always felt that way. I think if the Giants could get what they thought his value was, I could justify doing it and getting rid of him, but I think that this is a repairable situation. Arnie, you're right. He wants money. He wants to be paid like Antonio Brown, but better. He wants that. The Giants want everyone all in on their system, so it's good that he's there, especially because it's the first workout for Pat Shurmur and the new regime there in New York. So all of that is good. I wonder, and I don't know the answer to this, I wonder what the Giants prefer, because if the Giants do want to trade him, they probably would prefer he's doing nothing football-related and couldn't risk another injury so they don't depreciate his value. I have to think that, them wanting him there and him wanting to be there is a good sign for the future.
No, I think if he starts doing that, then people will say, okay, it's a distressed relationship. They've got to get rid of him. Let's lowball the offer because now they've got to move him. If it seems like it's all copacetic and everything's okay on the level, on the surface, then they're going to say, okay, let's make an offer, but we're not going to be able to lowball him because things look good. So, I'm not going to go that way either. Sean in South Burlington, does the mistake count for turning on Arnie's mic? But we're getting a lot of those. Wow.
At least that's a little bit of a different twist from just don't let him on the air
at
all.
Yes, that is a little bit of a twist.
Yeah, I mean, you could conceivably yell in the background if we turn your mic off.
I want to say this. I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. will be a member of the Giants when week one comes around.
Wow.
So I don't know. And I think the best way to trade him is right before the draft.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's only 3 weeks left on that. So with 3 weeks being left on that, they're either going to have to step up and really facilitate somebody making that offer, and maybe they think they've already got that, or I'll be wrong, and they won't. But they won't trade him after that. I don't think they'll trade him after that.
Well, one thing's for sure. He wants to be on his best behavior for the next couple of weeks because, if he wants to be the highest-paid player in the league, I don't know if it's with the Giants or whomever it is, but he can't have an incident in the next couple of weeks or he's blowing it all up.
Brady, I was the first to always say, I'm not giving him that money. I'm not doing this, no matter who we say.
Yep.
I may be wrong on Odell Beckham Jr. at $20 million a year because, Sammy Watkins and Antonio Brown. You got to compare apples with apples here. That's right about par at about $20 million plus.
Yeah, but you don't believe in it. You're just like, look, someone will pay, it's not me.
Yes, well, that's true. It's not going to be me. He'll get that money, but I'm not going to do it if I'm the Giants because I'm not going to win a Super Bowl.
Is Beckham $3 million better every year than Antonio Brown? I mean, and is that a huge gamble, right?
So,
he's younger, yeah. But he's also been injured. He's missed nearly an entire season.
And the attitude, who knows?
Yeah, look. Market value, flash factor, marketability, inflation, all of those things I could probably justify. But here's what you need to look at. As we've seen the trend, the teams that are paying quarterbacks nothing are the ones that can go and afford to overspend at other positions. So Cleveland at the moment could afford him, and they have the picks to be able to do it. That still remains the most logical place to me. The Rams, they no longer have the picks or the need because they went after Cooks and they've signed, Sue, and they've gone after Tlaib and Peters. They've taken on a lot of salary. You would need another team with a young quarterback making nothing that thinks that they're one piece away. There's just not a lot of teams like that. The Browns are the only ones that I could justify. They have the picks. They have the cap space. Jarvis Landry, the Browns have, is Beckham's best friend. His former wide receivers coach at LSU and with the Giants is now the wide receivers coach in Cleveland. That, to me, remains still the only logical fit for a trade.
Well, they're not going to get that for Beckham anyway. I mean, to think you're not even going to get if the Patriots wanted to move up to number four in the draft, they would have to give up two first-round picks and two second-round picks just to move up to that. So Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to get you two first-round picks. It's not going to happen that way.
If I were the Browns, I would offer them the first pick in the second round and the first pick of the fourth round. I would give you the second and a fourth. Marcus Peters is an all-pro player for the Kansas City Chiefs with not as much attitude concerns, but a little bit of attitude reputation around the league. All-pro player, multiple-time Pro Bowl, young player. He fetched a second and a fourth. Beckham's not going to give me that much more. I'll give him the first pick of the second, the first pick of the fourth, and that's it.
Johnny Colchester said, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, Julio Jones all have zero Super Bowl rings. So, high-profile wide receivers don't equate to winning rings. And first-time texter, mistake, you guys keep interrupting each other. No, that's not a mistake. Once again, you got to do better than that. It's got to be something factual, okay? Thank you very much.
I don't know. I think OBJ signs 3-4 years, somewhere 50 to 70 million, probably most of it guaranteed. Doesn't that make him a free agent by the time he's 30? So he can go through this all again.
Yes.
Maybe the Giants have a little bit more cap space at that point. It just seems like this is it's lining up perfectly for both sides, especially for Beckham.
Cody in Plattsburgh says the 49ers could be one piece away and have cap space. Then fine. And they do have a high-value pick. They have a top 10 pick also in this draft. Fine. Cleveland and the 49ers, I would say, may be the only spots that Beckham could go. I'll give Cody that.
It's too bad the Patriots don't have cap space, because I'm wondering if they would make it, because they've got those draft picks. They got some draft picks they could be dealing.
No.
No, they don't?
No, they do.
Yeah.
Don't deal them.
And that's the kind of guy that I could see Belichick saying, try to get, because they think he's getting a bargain on, and he's a big star. So, hey, he dealt with Randy Moss. And Randy Moss was a bad guy coming in allegedly, and you see what has happened there. So,
keep the picks.
Well, I'm so into this NFL draft. It's going to be historic. It really is. Brady, let's get a little bit into the Masters. What's going on there? Because I was bored to tears.
What? Really?
Yeah,
the
I was.
One shot differential at the end?
Yeah, I was bored. Even though if he missed it, it was going to go to a playoff, I was still bored to tears because of the people that were leading the whole thing. And I know Spieth came back from 9 strokes, and nobody's ever come back from 8 strokes. And there was a little bit of drama there. But then he took a 3-stroke lead, and I really wasn't into it.
Patrick Reed won the tournament 24 birdies or better, okay? He made birdie or better on 1/3 of his holes for the week. That's pretty amazing. So that was a tournament best. He became the 6th player to win a major and a World Golf Championship event by the age of 27. So he's in distinguished company there with Tiger, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Keegan Bradley, and Martin Keimer. That's a good look. I don't find Patrick Reed very likable. That's what a lot of the talk has been today. He's a guy who was thrown off his college team at the University of Georgia. He was a guy that at Augusta State,
yep,
apparently his teammates were rooting against him, and they were going for a national championship.
And they beat Georgia.
Yeah.
Augusta State.
So not a great guy.
Yeah, but we didn't know this stuff about him until he was on the leaderboard.
Right.
And then the information comes out. Otherwise, I wouldn't know him if he gave me breadsticks at the Olive Garden. I mean, I'm serious.
Before I even knew all that, look, I'm not asking you to be all over your girlfriend or wife when you win, but this blonde woman, who I can only anticipate was his girlfriend,
we're going
to
assume
a little weird. Yeah.
She goes right up to him and gives him a hug, and then he pretty much blows her off and walks past her. I'm like, look, man, I appreciate that you're not going to be public display of affection all over television, but at least walk next to this woman and hold her hand and act like you care.
Either that or somebody's trespassing.
No, and it was weird to Chris. I was like, where's his family? Where's his mom? Where's his dad? Well, apparently he's disowned or they have disowned him.
They are.
So, I mean,
I'm looking at the
list of the people that he has infuriated in his life, and it's basically his entire family and just about everybody in his life. I mean, don't you think, though, in a strange sort of way, that makes it more interesting because you find yourself sort of cheering against him?
A lot of the talk today, and Will Kane on before us, is this the villain that golf needs? And I don't know. I'm not into that. I'm just into people that I've heard of being good. I didn't need Tiger yesterday.
I did.
See, I was okay because I've heard of Spieth. I've heard of Ricky Fowler. I need the narrative of the guy who's never won going for the win. I was in it for Ricky Fowler's sake, much like in the last year, I was in it for Sergio's sake, because that's the narrative that I like. I didn't need Tiger. I don't need the villain. I need somebody that I've heard of going for history. And for me, it was Ricky Fowler. That's what got me watching.
What about the Jordan Spieth comeback? I mean,
yeah,
that was
epic.
Riveting. It was unbelievable. That string of birdies.
I mean, he shot 64. I mean,
64.
He shot
and he missed his putt at the end. It would have had a 63.
He shot a 64 yesterday, matching his best career round at the Masters. He did it in 2015 also, and he tied the Masters final round scoring record. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And oh, by the way, more on Patrick Reed. Once they believed he was cheating in college and handing an improper score sheet.
Yes.
Like, what a great guy. He just made $11 million for that.
That I don't care about that. What, I was going to say, what are you using, the left foot wedge or something like that? First-time texter, you don't get to say other people's mistakes and blame that on us. Yes, because he wrote 2 commercials, said the Masters in 365 days, making it start on a Wednesday, and 363 days, making it start on a Sunday. Raymond, in South Burlington. Well, you can't pin that on us. We didn't. That's not us that makes the commercial, so you can't stick us
good
with
for
that
you, man. No, you should get a consolation prize for your attentiveness.
Yeah, I would never have figured that out. Yeah, that never would have occurred to me. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Monday Mirages.
Next on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Oh, boy, we got a lot to get to. First-time texter said Reed didn't win $11 million. He won $2 million. Total purse was $11
million. Oh, total purse was $11 million. That would be a mistake.
That is a mistake. So, bingo.
That is a mistake.
But unfortunately, he didn't put his name or what city he's from. So, another first-time texter getting that in. Cody in Plattsburgh did catch a mistake. That's on my fault. We didn't do the ticket giveaway, so we're going to do that coming up after Monday Mirages.
Great.
So, we'll qualify you, Cody, to go ahead and get that mistake of the day. So, thank you for that one. So, we got that one wrong. But who said $11 million was the total purse?
I did.
Wow.
I said he won $11 million, but yes, that was the total purse.
It's good, though. This is team mistakes.
You
we're
like
spreading
that,
them
huh?
around. That means I'm next.
It just goes to show you how much you guys make mistakes and I'm not paying attention. I've got something else to do. I'm reading all these other texts coming in. Oh, it's Travis and Colchester.
Okay.
That is the qualifier there.
That was a good one, Travis. Right,
there you go. Now it's time for Monday Mirages.
You're not going to do your obnoxious thing where you
that's getting played out. But I'm still going to say I'm your boss. That never gets played out.
Question one. Yankee fans are justified in booing Giancarlo Stanton. Real or mirage?
I'm going to say real. You know, it did bother me when that first time he went with the platinum sombrero.
Yeah.
With the five strikeouts.
First one.
And yeah. I'm thinking, okay, this is getting crazy. You can't boom. We're like, what, one game in or something? No, that's not a mistake. Sarcasm. But then I'm getting, look how much money he's making. So you got to come through every at bat. Otherwise, you're going to be criticized. So I don't have a problem with them booing him a little bit. I don't have a problem at all.
Doesn't this feel like one of those you just know he's going to finish the season with 48 homers and 120 RBI, and they're going to adore everything about him? But you know what? I'm going with real, too, because the fact that the Yankees blew that game with the bases loaded and nobody out in the bottom of the 12th inning yesterday was beyond belief. And to have two golden sombreros in...
To platinum sombreros.
I mean, platinum. Goldens. He had goldens by about the eighth inning.
So.
Platinum sombreros, which is a term I've never heard in my whole life of following baseball, to have two of them already in one season in the first, whatever, 9-10 games, I think that's boo-worthy. But I guarantee you he's going to get back with the fans.
I'm saying real because, I mean, look, he struck out more times last week than Joe DiMaggio did all of 1941.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
He struck out more times last week, 16, than Joe DiMaggio did all of 1941, 13. However, yes, it's real. You can do what you want as a paying customer. But don't come bragging to me in June when he hits consecutive walk-offs and he's homered 9 times in 15 at-bats. Right. If you're going to jump off the ship now, don't come to me and get back on it. Because there's nothing worse than a hypocritical person, and there's nothing more annoying than a hypocritical fan. Don't be ready to trade the guy now. Ready to have him benched, and then come bragging about how you've got an MVP candidate.
It's not what you've done for me, but what you've done for me lately, though, Brady.
Yes, as always you always say.
Yes, exactly.
Well, those two homers on opening day, remember the fans next to us at RJ's, how crazy people were going? Well, just remember that. You're going to be doing that again soon.
He's still going to hit 50.
Monday Mirage's question two on the huddle. This week's Yankees-Red Sox series is a big deal, even though it's early in the season. Real or Mirage?
No, it's a big deal for a couple reasons. One, Yankees were the favorites to win that division, so you do want to kind of send the message. You know, I'll equate it to this. It was kind of like the Mets and Nationals. Nationals, the favorite to win the division, overwhelming. Mets coming off a lot of injuries. What do the Mets do? They get the sweep on the road. I think that sends a message. I think the Red Sox want to send the message, not that that they're doing bad with their record, but I think they want to send a message to the Yankees like, hey, you are not going to just go ahead and take this division. We're two-time champions. You got to go ahead and take it from us. So I think it is important, sir.
I'm going Mirage, but barely. I think the CC Sabathia thing hurts a little bit right now.
That's
not helping. The fact that the bullpen isn't doing anything and the offense isn't, other than Didi Gregorius and a couple of other guys, not doing anything. I'm going to go Mirage, but only if it's not a Red Sox sweep. If the Red Sox sweep this series, I think it's real.
I'm going real because we're seeing Sale and Price back-to-back. You've got the Red Sox now playing without Bogarts. I think that's a big story. I think this is a big deal. You're already 3.5 games up on the Yankees in the division. If you can get to 5.5 up here early, that's a good thing as you continue to move forward. And I don't care that it's early. The more distance you can have, potentially, the better.
I just think it's way too, and just what you just said, it's too early. There's no way with that batting order, unless they all go on the DL, that they have to worry.
Question three, here at the Huddle Monday Mirages. You are worried about the Maple Leafs as a playoff opponent for the Bruins in round one, real or mirage?
More so than New Jersey, but I'm sure. Two reasons I'm worried. More so than New Jersey, and two, because of what happened last time they were in the playoffs when we mentioned in hour number one that was, what, a 3-1 lead, and they pretty much, how many goals did they get in the last 2.5 minutes to steal that game from Toronto?
I don't know. It was 4-1 Leafs, and the Bruins tied in the last 4 minutes or
don't
whatever.
Don't think that people in Toronto are not going to remember that.
Oh, they remember everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I just for those reasons alone, it worries me, but I'm still going with the Bruins to win it.
I'm still fuming about that loss last night. That's just, there's no explaining how that could happen. It's a disgraceful loss by the Black and Gold. I was so angry last night. They had the whole number one seed and the Devils waiting for them. Now, instead, they've got a team that has beaten them 3 out of 4 times this year. They are loaded offensively. Marner's around. Matthews is back. He has not been healthy for a while, but he's fine now. They've got good goaltending, and Tuukka Rask better be ready. I think this thing's going 7.
Begrudgingly, I'll say mirages. This is a team that is very, very young. This is a team that is very, very inexperienced. This is a team with the weight of a whole country on its shoulders for the most part. Yes, Winnipeg's in
Except
the playoffs.
For Winnipeg, aren't they in it?
Winnipeg's in the playoffs too, but the whole province of Ontario makes up a great deal of that country. Young, inexperienced, an offensive-laden team come playoff time when there's more defense being played. I think this is one of two ways it's going to go. Either the young exuberance is going to come and just whitewash the Bruins, or they're going to be shockingly be gone in 5, or their defense is going to clamp down and knock out the Young Bucks, and that's which way I'm leaning right now.
The fact that we have a complete 40-minute no-show for the Bruins last night, and we have to have this discussion, is just so ridiculous.
Question 4, you think Gronk is being too sensitive if he's mad at Belichick for calling him out in public in front of a team meeting, real or mirage?
No, I don't think he's being too sensitive. Matter of fact, it could be the final straw. Maybe he's just tired of everything maybe leading up to that situation. I doubt that's the first time Belichick has ever called out Gronk. Oh, if it is, boy, he's very tolerable of Gronk. I got to be honest with all the partying.
But at a team meeting, that's where this might be a little different.
First of all, you remember the cryptic tweet after what's-his-face signed?
Yeah.
But there was animosity. A3. Yeah, there was animosity way before this, okay? So, no, he's got all the right to be mad. I don't think he's being too sensitive.
I'm saying it's real because I think there is a lot of animosity there, and I think Gronk is, you know, what is it you say, something buttercup about guys?
Toughen up, buttercup.
Toughen up. Yeah, that's your favorite line. I think the fact that he's heard it all before, if I'm Gronk, man, I'm just rolling my eyes and going, you know, what the bleep, and moving on.
I'm saying that it's mirage. I think he has every right to be upset. I think to be called out publicly about your play is one thing, but we got on Gronk for saying he wasn't committed enough to football. We've gotten on Gronk saying, is he too much of a party boy? What about his lifestyle? Now he's being criticized for trying to work harder. We don't have to love that he's working with Alex Guerrero, but bottom line is he's trying to work harder so that he can remain healthier for Belichick and play a full season again, and now he's being condemned for that too? I'd be looking at it like, buddy, you were on me when I wasn't doing enough football things. Now you're on me when I am. I think he's got every right and is justified. Question 5, Arnie needs to admit he's wrong about Shohei Ohtani.
No!
Real or mirage?
No! Can I wait till like July and see if he's doing this? I don't want to go ahead and say I'm wrong about him now. I so badly wanted him to get off to like batting 121. Spring training. That's what I wanted him to start the season with, a ERA of like 35 or something like that.
Also like spring training.
I thought for sure he was going to get hammered around once he got up to the big boys. I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. Yeah, I'm wrong so far. If this was the mistake of the day, you'd get like 5 qualifiers in. Well, let's see what he does the rest of the year, but there's no doubt this guy can play the game.
And you know how much I love to pounce when Arnie screws up, and he does it all the time. But on this one, and it hurts me to say it, but I'm going with mirage again. It's just too early. He's made 2 starts, and look, his breaking stuff last night was unbelievable. I have no idea how anybody's going to hit that, but let him get through these lineups 4 or 5 times. Talk to me in about 2 months about Ohtani. Maybe the hitting will be there, maybe the pitching will be there, but I'm going mirage because I just think there's too small of a sample size.
I'll say it's real. It's 100% real. In fact, it's 1,000,000,000%
real.
Wow. Wow, a trillion.
It doesn't have to be. I don't need Ohtani to finish the year 21-1 with a 0.9 ERA and him to hit 40 homers to prove that Arnie's wrong. Bottom line is, Arnie thought he couldn't play. He can play. He threw 100 miles an hour on the black yesterday. He's got one of the best splitters I've ever seen already. And he's hitting balls 420 feet. He had 3 homers in a week. It's hard enough to get one player to do one of those things. He's doing them both. The fact he's got the skill set, he's proved he belongs. And that's all I need from him right now.
All right. There you go. There is a look at Monday Mirages. All right, let's go ahead and give away what?
For all the listeners sitting in their car in their driveway waiting for this moment.
You want those Red Sox tickets, don't you, Brady? Tell everybody how they get the Red Sox tickets.
Caller number 5 right now, 802-655-6672. Do you know Golic and Wingo's word of the day?
All right, that next. So get on in, 802-655-6672 right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Wow, we're getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line. Does red sock count? Definitely waitress is thinking Arnie is wrong. That's not a mistake.
That is for sure.
That's not a mistake. Derek says, worth a shot on the mistake line here. The saying is, suck it up, buttercup, not tough it up, buttercup.
That's he's Derek right. Said,
no, that's my saying then. Then I'm patenting my own saying.
No, it
then.
Is. Brady, you want to break this tie?
You can break the
it's
tie.
Suck it up, buttercup, right?
It is.
I think you can put your own flair on it.
Yeah. There's a so, what's the song?
No fun.
What's the song say, Brady? Or
it's Build Me Up, Buttercup.
Okay, so Build Me Up, Buttercup. So there's three different sayings then.
47 or whatever year that was.
My goodness.
You remember that one.
Brady, who won the tickets?
Raymond from South Burlington.
Raymond from South Burlington.
Raymond?
Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond. You get the Red Sox tickets, so congratulations there. By the way, tomorrow
is our last day of Red Sox tickets.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
The boss has run out of his box seats.
Yeah. I was going to say, and I kept a few pairs for myself.
Sure
tomorrow is also trivia.
Yes.
So, that's right.
Come out to the Burger Bar from 7:30 to 9:30. So we're going to be doing trivia, and it was great last week.
It was. So, and the host, I thought, was especially good. But what about tomorrow? Who's hosting?
I'm going to host tomorrow. So
you are hosting.
I'm ready to roll, and wrote the questions out last night. Got some good questions out there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. We have great prizes. Fabulous prizes for the Burger Bar. 7:30
Okay.
So come on out, and it was a lot of fun last week.
Yes.
No doubt about that. Do you want to do the Mistake of the Day qualifier? Want to do that real
We
quick?
Got more show. We got five minutes left here.
Right.
We have 5 minutes worth of mistakes just waiting to happen,
so you
Arnie.
Can still do that. So let's get more into what the Patriots did today. I told you, if you have five running backs, you don't have one. I guess they want to get number six and number seven. How many do they have now? I'm not sure. I've lost count, to be honest with you.
The Patriots are meeting today. They met today with free agent running back Orleans Darkwah. That's a name a lot of people are going to know here. He led the Giants in rushing last year, 751 yards, five touchdowns, and led as the feature back last season towards the tail end of the year. Orleans Darkwah meeting today with
Why?
The Patriots.
Why? What's going on? How many does that bring it now, too?
I'm just, well, right
is
now,
there, they're going to try to get every running back? I'm curious.
Right now, they've got three. James White, Rex Burkhead, and Jeremy Hill.
And they let how many go? They let one go.
And they still have Mike Gillislee, so that's four, actually.
There's four.
But four backs.
I thought there was a fifth.
Well, Deion Lewis is gone. Brandon
else?
Bolden is a special teamer, but he's still on the team.
All right, don't make people start doing the mistake of the day. They'll start getting it on something like that. But, again, this is their one big glaring weakness, I believe, is what's the running
Despite
back.
All those names. I mean, how many guys are they going to bring in that had between 300 and 700 yards last year? I mean, it just seems like they're a team full of – I understand the depth and all of that, but it just – what are they looking for? Are they looking for one of these guys to suddenly run for 1,200 yards? I mean, Ian Rapoport was talking about him being a huge sleeper, and most of the Giants fans are saying, yeah, he put us to sleep. So I'm not sure what he means by a sleeper. Well, do you see him as the type of guy that could come to New England
well,
and suddenly be
you,
the feature back?
You might not be able to run behind the Giants' offensive line, but we got a better offensive line with the Patriots is what they're probably thinking.
750 yards is not nothing. And on a team that went 3-13 with no offense and no Beckham and no receivers that were healthy, that's a pretty good number. I like Darkwah. He's a guy who is a similar player to Deion Lewis, who they have seen excel in their system before. So I think it makes sense. I like that move a heck of a lot more than Jeremy Hill. I don't like the Jeremy Hill signing. I think he offers them essentially nothing. And I think Darkwah could offer them something.
That was the name you
No, I said him.
Okay, I'm
so
sorry.
I think Darkwah could offer them something. What I am interested in, though, is this. Deion Lewis, we heard reportedly, was frustrated in New England. As we hear, a lot of people are frustrated in New England, apparently. Deion Lewis was frustrated in New England. Orleans Darkwah and Deion Lewis share the same agency. So I wonder, does Lewis talk to Darkwah and tell him candidly, here's what I didn't like? And is that not so much then, do the Patriots not want Darkwah, but does Darkwah get scared off of the Patriots? For a guy who's a, quote, sleeper, he could get a job somewhere. I don't know that Lewis, I wonder if Lewis would tell him something.
Not to mention what you just brought up. Do you really want to go to a team with Burkhead, White, Hill, Gillislee, and to a point, Bolden, all sitting there waiting in front of you?
I mean,
what's the point?
Well, this maybe we're not thinking about this right. Maybe I'm overthinking this, but I want to. We know it's a rich draft for running backs, right? We're all on the same page on that. And we do know that the Patriots have extra picks. So my thing is this. Either they're not going to spend those picks on running backs, or maybe they're not going to have as many picks as we think they're going to have, and they're going to trade it, and that's why they're getting running backs this way, because they're not going to have enough picks to get the running backs, because they're going to trade up, package up, and move up high to get their quarterback. Am I overthinking this? Because with all the running backs, and you could get them in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, why not just use one of their million picks that you have? Unless you're thinking we're going to package up and get that quarterback, and we're not going to have time to get running
back.
Well,
you know where I'm at with the Pats. Their picks. Keep every last one of them. Get yourself a left tackle take it from there.
If that's true, then they'll take a running back. So why are they doing all this?
Okay, but let's switch it to the Giants. If they're getting, if Darko's going somewhere else, does that tell you that Barkley's going in the Giants slot in the first round?
Well, they signed Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah,
also
that's
what, already.
Well, that's, but that's not
right.
The
but answer. That's that much more than is that a huge improvement on a guy like Darkwa?
In fact, I think it's a reduction.
Yeah.
I don't like what the Giants. I think the Giants are going to get a running back, whether it's Barkley or someone else. As already said, it's a rich running back draft. What I wonder is I don't see the Patriots now taking a wide receiver, especially high, because I think they've got five locks already at wide receiver. Are you going to lock yourself into 3 to 4 or 5 locks at running back already pre-draft? I don't think that's smart. I don't love the Hill signing. I could see him not being on this team, and I could see them giving up on Gillislee, although I wouldn't give up on Gillislee. So I think right now we're looking at, for sure, James White and for sure Burkhead are on this team, and I would say likely Gillislee gives you 3. Hill, I'm not sure about.
If you're the Patriots, since you got that gift number one, that gift first-round draft pick in the Cooks trade, would you package that to get Saquon Barkley? Forget about getting the quarterback. If you knew you can get trade those 2 first-round picks,
no, I don't want a running back. They've got 19 of them already.
I'm not talking about it. It's not a running back. It's Saquon Barkley.
I understand that. I don't. No, I would not trade anything. I'd work on needs. I don't think running back is a need. I don't care if it's a game changer running back.
Defensive back is a need. Yep. Offensive lineman is a need. Running back is a need. Pass rusher is a need. Backup quarterback is a need. Extra tight end, I would say, is Not a high-profile need.
One, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a blocking tight end in a little bit.
You can't have the luxury to sign a blocking tight end, a catching tight end, and a good-looking tight end, or one that can do backflips. You don't get that luxury. I mean, you got to have all-in-one now, Brady. I mean, come on now. You don't have that much money to be spending out there. It's getting a little crazy with what the Patriots are trying to pull off. But I'm dying to see who's going to trade those first-round picks. Is it going to be them? Is Buffalo going to trade their 2 picks? I'm down to see, are the Cardinals going to trade up and try to get the quarterback? And we keep hearing that the Patriots, Dan Patrick was talking about the Patriots interested in Baker Mayfield.
Oh, I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, Nessa said that on Friday. I just think it would be maybe not the height of stupidity to go and trade up for a quarterback, but I think it would be the wrong decision.
For Baker Mayfield? Wait.
For the Patriots.
Because people will trade up for Rosen and Darnold.
For the Patriots to trade up for any quarterback, I think, is a mistake.
And in that same sentence, Dan Patrick said, why would the Patriots go after a quarterback? They don't need one.
Well, yeah, they do.
Well, not according to him.
No, he's wrong on that.
Really? They need a quarterback heading to next year?
No, it's not for next year. It's for your future, though. Let's not be crazy.
There's no way I'm trading up.
Brady, give us the mistake of the day qualifier. Who's that going to go to?
It's going to be Cody in Plattsburgh, who reminded you that you didn't call for the ticket giveaway
on time. That is right. So Cody in Plattsburgh will go ahead and be our qualifier for the day.
Yeah, Cody in Plattsburgh is our first qualifier for our mistake of the day segment. It's brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. So we'll do it again tomorrow, everybody. Don't worry.
All right. Tell everybody what's coming up on the Champaign Valley game night also.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Orleans Darkwa maybe and the Patriots' interest in the free agent running back. And I'll tell you why you should be rooting for Ohtani, Arnie. I know you're not, but you should be.
All right. The biggest moron in the NFL. We'll have that for Last Story Standing next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, you're going to like this Last Story Standing. We go to Packers wide receiver Trevor Davis. You wouldn't have known this guy if he came into the Olive Garden to offer me breadsticks, my friend.
Did he make a mistake of the day?
Well, he big mistake, yeah. Yes. I would say he made a mistake. He was going from Los Angeles, going to Hawaii. He was in LAX, went over to the Hawaiian Airlines counter. Of course, at that point, they ask you some pretty standard questions about what's in your luggage. He answered the questions, and at that point, he turned to his female traveling companion and jokingly asked, "Do you remember packing the explosives?" In response, his companion apparently replied, "Yes! Yes, we did!" As she was playing along with the joke, "Ha, ha, ha, ha!" Hawaiian Airlines frowns upon joking about explosives in your luggage.
I'll bet.
So a Hawaiian Airlines worker did what any other airline worker would do.
Tackled him.
She called security.
Oh.
The good news is he was arrested, booked, and then released, did miss his flight. But that's what you get when you say stupid stuff like that, that, you know, do you have the explosives?
He didn't miss his flight?
He did. He did miss
his flight. Oh, he did. I thought you said he didn't. I was like, wait a minute. He got arrested.
Yeah. No, I believe he missed his flight.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't teach that kind of stupidity.
Yeah. I just don't know. What makes you think that, oh, here's a really good joke. I've heard a good one here. Oh, you mean, did we pack our explosives? What the hell's wrong with you? I mean, how stupid do you have to be to say something like that?
You could have said almost anything, but the word explosives is going to do the trick.
And she plays along. Oh, yeah, yeah, we got them. We got the explosives with us. What are you supposed to do at that point? I mean, you're supposed to say, well, we all know it's a big joke, so just go on through, sir. Thank you very much.
Be interesting to see if is he still with the Packers?
Well, this happened just yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, no, but it'll be interesting to see what their reaction to something that stupid is.
Yeah, that would be a mistake of the day, that's for sure.
It's just a joke. Take a joke, would you?
Except he said it. Yeah, right?
It actually happened.
It sounds like a joke.
Well, it was a joke. He didn't have explosives with him.
It was just a joke to him.
Yeah, it was
right up until the cuffs went on.
Yeah, it was certainly a poor joke on that. And Brady, you had one. What was the one that you pulled? Because I didn't get to that one.
This one's not funny. Well, that one's not really funny either. But Red Sox number two prospect Michael Chavis suspended 80 games for violating minor league baseball's performance-enhancing drug policy.
You think he did it on purpose so he wouldn't have to play in Pawtucket or Portland in -5 degree weather for 2 months?
Well, of course, he never knowingly injected or ingested anything that would harm himself or the organization.
Yes, not knowingly.
Chris Colabello, former Blue Jay, who got suspended for the same thing, said he believes him because he believes that he was innocent too.
Right.
So he believes that this system is just an alien, you know, implanting itself in someone's bloodstream.
No, it's like that lady who got caught with cocaine in her purse, and she told the police it was very windy and it must have floated through the window in my car and into my purse.
By the way, the stuff that Chavis was caught with might be the longest word I've ever seen.
It's something that East German bodybuilders used to use.
There you go. Men and women. All right, let's wrap it up. Thanks to intern who? No interns today?
No interns.
Wow.
It's just us.
All right. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.